Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com. My co-host David Todd is flying out to New York. Good luck with that, David, due to the cold weather and all like that. Sitting in for David, as he normally does, and you'll probably start hearing a lot more from him on the podcast here in the coming months as we wind down the Steelers 2015 season and start getting prepared for the 2016 draft, free agency, and everything that goes along with the offseason. I am, of course, talking about Alex Cazorra. Happy cold Friday to you, Alex.
Happy cold Friday to you too, Dave. And yeah, I think David Todd's getting the last flight out anywhere on the East Coast for a couple days. So hopefully I'm as lucky for the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, and in case you've been hiding underneath a rock and haven't been listening to the podcast or following either of us on Twitter, Alex is headed out to Mobile, Alabama to cover his first Senior Bowl for Steelers Depot on Sunday. Most of his time will be spent probably in airports on Sunday. He probably will be there for the weigh-in and then the practices of both the North and South after that. So, Alex, I guess we should first start off with thanking the several people that donated to the cause. You know, we put out a couple of weeks ago trying to raise a few donations to help alleviate the cost of the trip. And as usual, our great listeners came through and completely funded the trip and meals and everything that goes along with that within the first 24 hours. So I'd like to once again thank the listeners as well for the support in that, and I know you would as well. Right, Alex?
Of course, yeah. I've said it before, but it's worth saying again. Thank you, everybody. Just blown away by the support, the immediate support. I knew it was coming off the holiday. You know, people just spent a bunch of money on that, so extremely grateful. And just hoping, you know, I can return the favor and do everyone proud with the products we get from the Senior Bowl.
And we'll talk a little bit about that here, in the middle of the podcast. But I thought it would be appropriate. Well, I don't want to beat the Denver versus Steelers game horse anymore. I think people have heard us discuss that enough. People are probably ready to move on into the off season anyway. But I thought we'd start off this podcast, Alex, by people know where I feel on the season for the most part. They know where David Todd feels on the off season for the most part. What do you kind of What are your thoughts, kind of an overview on the Steelers 2015 season?
I mean, you can take it in so many different ways, and I don't think my thoughts really differ much from yours or David Todd's or really any, I think, Steelers fan. I think it was improvement in every phase overall when you understand the injuries this team went through. There aren't a lot of teams that can lose their starting running back, their starting center, you know, left tackle, and all the other injuries, you know, on offense and still have at times one of the most productive offenses in the NFL, even though the last 4 weeks of the year, it really didn't end up, you know, the results weren't what you wanted it to be. I thought defensively, I thought there were real tangible improvements, still a lot of areas to address, namely defensive line depth, the edge rush, but I thought overall there was improvements. I was happy with Keith Butler, and I'll eventually do a post kind of breaking down my exact thoughts on Keith Butler and Todd Haley and Danny Smith, and even special teams. You know, I know a lot of people rag on special teams, and it wasn't perfect by any means, but I thought they continued to improve and did a lot of good things and dealt with a lot of injuries on their own. You know, we talk about the defensive injuries and the offensive injuries. We don't talk about the trickle-down effect on special teams. You know, you've lost Terrence Garvin. The end of the year, you were losing guys like, you know, Will Johnson and guys like that. And I thought overall, the special teams unit did a pretty good job to respond. They kind of, you know, wilted at the end because the injuries just hit them so hard. But overall, we did that exercise at the beginning of the year of the guess the record and go through game by game. And I don't take a lot of stock into that, but I had them at 8-8, and they go 10-6. So that they, I guess, in that sense, exceeded my expectations.
I had them at 10-6, but I have them at 10-6 every year.
That's the default state for every Steelers game.
Yeah, that's pretty safe. But I, you know, it'd be interesting to go back and look. I mean, it just goes to show, and we'll probably do it. I'll probably make you do it again at start of the 2016 season before it gets underway. But it just goes to show you how trying to predict outcomes of games on a week by week basis. You know, you just don't know how the injuries are going to play out during the season. I think it's obvious that you know, maybe the Steelers should have and could have won an extra one or two games along the way had they had Ben, had they had Le'Veon Bell, had they had Martavis Bryant. But look, Mike Tomlin says it all the time. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you for your injuries because a lot of teams go through them as well. So I was, I don't want to say pleasantly surprised they made it to the divisional round. I wasn't shocked that they made it to the divisional round. I didn't see them going much further than that. But you know, to go back and kind of recollect your thoughts on it, you were kind of, I mean, A, you were probably surprised that they made the playoffs, and B, you were probably surprised they made it to the divisional round.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it was just so tough to gauge his team, and I guess that's true of every season. I know I was saying that last year, too. But I mean, you had so many ups and downs. I mean, everyone was feeling good before week 16, the Baltimore game. They, of course, dropped that one, and the entire tone and feeling of the season changes. And then they get in the playoffs with some help from Buffalo, and the entire tone of the season changes, you know, a whole 180 degrees. I think overall, if you had told me that they're going to make it into the divisional round and have a real strong chance to win that game, I would have been a little bit more surprised because I was really concerned about that defense. And if you told me about all the injuries the team would have accounted for before that, then I would have thought you were crazy. So I'm pleasantly surprised, but I'm not completely shocked like you.
You know, and keep in mind, I mean, realistically, this team had that. Had that game in Denver. Mm-hmm. You know, right. You make a few more plays there. Fitzgerald Toussaint doesn't put the football on the ground. Who knows how that drive ends? The defense obviously could have probably played better on that on the post fumble possession there. But I mean, you get the ball back with 3 minutes left and a chance to you know, tie it. And who knows if Mike Tomlin would have went for two had something like that, you know, happen. You know, overall, I know the goal every year is for this team is to win the Super Bowl. But I think certain aspects, I think the defense, I'm with you. I think the defense came together more at the end there, and they'll need to build on that next year. I think offensively this team will be fine, assuming the injury bugs, you know, they avoid that during the post and off season, as far as that goes as well. Let's look kind of ahead, you know, briefly. You know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but the key free agents for the Steelers that if I told you you could only name four that you think the team absolutely has to get re-signed during the offseason, who would they be?
Just trying to get my names on all the lists. Well, two for sure, William Gay. I think he's still your best corner, your best run support guy, great locker room guy, veteran experience, knows the system. You'd be a fool for William Gay to walk, and I don't think Gay wants to go anywhere either, so that shouldn't be an issue. Ramon Foster, I think he's better than people give him credit for. I know people give him the good but not, you know, great, doesn't do anything great. I mean, he's not an all-pro lineman, but I think he's still better, a better athlete, a better run blocker than people give him credit for. I'm trying to think some of the other big names off the top.
McClendon?
Yeah, I would do that because I don't want to have to reinvest in a nose tackle position you only use 30% of the time. McCullers has not made the strides to make you feel comfortable about, you know, getting him to be the next starting nose tackle. I suppose Ross Cockrell kind of counts, but he's exclusive rights. I mean, he's going to come back really.
What about Robert Golden?
Yeah, that'd be my fourth one. Just because if you don't have that, then you have nothing at strong safety. I don't know how the team's going to feel about Robert Golden. I don't know if they view him as a starter. But it's interesting though, and I can't remember if I've talked to you about this or I talked about it on other stuff I've done, but. You know, I'm sure Golden wants to be a starter in this league. I'm sure the way he played this year makes him feel like, you know, I can start in this league. And if he doesn't get that, you know, chance to compete or start, you know, feeling from Pittsburgh, Could he go elsewhere on his own accord and say, I want to go to a different opportunity? It wouldn't shock me. So, you know, as much as I want Golden back, and the team probably wants Golden back, they're going to have to give him a role that's going to satisfy him and not be, a backup core special teamer, because I think he's looking beyond that.
And let's be honest here. There's not going to be many, if any, teams out there during the free agency signing period that are probably going to view him as a starter and pay him a significant amount of money.
Probably not, but you never know. You might get that one odd team, or he might just want to test the market and see and just get an idea of what's all out there before, he might not re-up until, after free agency begins and he tests the waters. Maybe he ends up coming back, after he realizes there's nothing available. But you never know, and I'm sure, players are always the optimistic ones. They're always the ones betting on themselves. And that's understandable and rightfully so. So he might, it's just speculation. I don't know what's in his mind right now, but he might want to test the waters and just see. Worst comes to worst, you get a comfortable role in Pittsburgh.
And you left Kelvin Beachum off the list, and I think that's more because of the possibility of him being re-signed more than anything else. You, like me, would welcome Beachum back with open arms for the right price.
For the right price, I think is the critical phrase there. If Beachum goes, I'm not going to be too choked up about it. And I don't forget how good this guy has played last season. How much, the first couple games were rocky this year, but they did kind of, get better before he ended up, tearing his ACL. I've been really impressed with the job Villanueva has done. A big reason why I want to re-sign Ramon Foster is to keep that continuity between him and Villanueva together. I think if you bring in a new left guard, I think you screw up, Villanueva's development, I think you start going back to kind of square one. Honestly, as unfortunate circumstances as they are, you never like to see a guy's, market value and role and opportunity get diminished because of an injury, but Villanueva's done a great job. He signed cheap. I'm okay with letting Beachum go.
During his Wednesday press conference, Mike Tomlin praised the position flexibility of Beachum, not surprising one bit, but are you buying at all? Should the team choose to re-sign Beachum over Foster, and I think I think I would be surprised if both of them are back. But if it's an either or, and let's say Beachum was the choice, are you buying any at all that he makes the move to left guard?
No, and I'll tell you why. And it has nothing to do with the Steelers, but Beachum himself. Why would you want to have to go to guard and try to play well there? At a position where you don't make as much money as left tackle. If you want to rebuild your value, you don't do it by changing positions and going to a less expensive position. So, if the Steelers say, Kelvin, we'll bring you back, but we're going to maybe put you at left guard, he's going to say, no, I'm going to go try to be a left tackle somewhere. That's where the money's at. That's the position I know, position I know I play the best. You're crazy. So, even if Pittsburgh wants him there, I bet your Beachum's not going to want to do that. There's no reason to do it.
Yeah, let's face it, too. Even though he has played some guard and center at the NFL level with the Steelers, he hasn't played a lot of it. The bulk of his work at left guard, for the most part, came during his rookie preseason, and it was UGLY,
yeah.
Ugly. Now, of course, he's become a much better technician since then as well, too. I'm with you. I'm not buying it. If you're going to invest the money in one of those two players, let's say $3 million, average yearly value a season, why not get a guy like Ramon Foster, limit the, with the idea that you're only going to get two more seasons at most, any more than that out of him, the better. And unfortunately, I don't think either one of us see Beachum returning to this team.
No, I don't. But like I said, I thought Villanueva got so much better as the year went on. You almost treat him like a rookie because this is basically his first real taste at the NFL at offensive tackle. And just mentally, you can tell the game slowed down for him. The big thing was stunt pickup. It was atrocious the first couple weeks, but it got a whole lot better. You could feel that the communication between Foster and Villanueva got better in some of their zone rules and things like that. They weren't missing on as many blocks. So there were still hiccups even against Cincinnati. I think I had a play where they screwed up their zone rules and let a guy come in free. And that's a big reason why I want Foster back, to have that familiar face, that familiar voice for Villanueva to help continue his development and not have to kind of start it over in that regard.
Ever since Dorian Grant was drafted last year, immediately following the selection, Carnell Lake didn't rule out a possible future move to safety. Keith Butler talked about the possibility of that happen about halfway through the season. On Wednesday, Mike Tomlin was asked about that possibility, and he didn't rule it out. I think we both agree Dorian Grant is not a starting cornerback in this league. Is he reserve? I don't think we have enough tape on that at the NFL level. Do you like the possibility of him making a move to safety during the offseason and seeing how that goes?
It wouldn't surprise me in the least. You definitely don't rule it out. I mean, it just depends what they do at cornerback. Do they bring in somebody? Do they draft somebody? Do they keep Cortez Allen in the camp? I mean, it just depends how crowded that cornerback room is going to be. Assuming that you re-sign your top three corners, Gay, Blake, Cockrell, of course you get Golson back as well. You know, that there's four guys right there. You know, do you say that, you know, does Grant have a better opportunity at safety than he does cornerback? So it's just going to depend, I think, partially, you know, what they do in the draft, what they do in free agency, how many guys are in that cornerback room. I mean, if they feel like Grant's best chance to make some noise is at safety. So it wouldn't surprise me at all. It's really hard to say. Like you said, the tape is so limited on Grant right now. We just don't know much about the kid. The Steelers, of course, have the best eye going through practices for a full year. But a short answer, no, it wouldn't surprise me.
And even if he did make the move, you would think it would be more from a depth standpoint, especially in 2016, with the hope that maybe he become your starter inside the box there. Mike Mitchell, even though, you know, you'll hear the Steelers say both safeties need to be interchangeable, need to be able to play in the box, need to be able to play free. Need to be able to play two deep mm-hmm. scheme as well too. You would consider Mike Mitchell more of a free than you would a strong, right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, we do the charting each week, and basically it became Will Allen was playing in the box a ton, almost another linebacker at some points, and Mitchell was usually the deep, you know, single high safety. But I mean, if you get to be a backup safety, you got to be able to play kind of everything. You know, Golden's done it. Will Allen, whenever he was the backup to Troy, was able to play both. It's kind of almost a requirement just to, so you have that top, you know, safety, so you don't have to have two true backups and start testing your depth even more. So that would be another, you know, obstacle that you have to talk about. If Grant wants to make that change, you kind of have to learn responsibilities for everything. And that's asking a lot out of a second-year guy who's just trying to figure out cornerback in the NFL. So that could hurt his development. So you have to kind of weigh that based on, you know, again, how many cornerbacks you have, what the projection is looking like for how many cornerbacks you're going to carry, who's got a good chance to make it, what does the safety room look like, how crowded is that. A lot of variables in play that's really hard to answer right now.
And a safety room isn't very crowded as we sit here right now. For all the love and praise we give Ross Ventrone, he is a special teams guy right now with Shamarco Thomas. That's all he is as well, too. Mike Tomlin didn't really have a lot of glowing words for Thomas outside of his special teams play on Wednesday. It's hard to imagine him coming out of training camp as the starting, you know, as a starter alongside Mike Mitchell next year, right?
Yeah, something bad must have happened if Shamarco Thomas ends up being the starter, or unless Shamarco just, the light somehow clicks on, like somebody just flips the switch or turns the electricity back on. Yeah, you know, and I think safety is a position where this team has made some relatively big investments in, and it hasn't just been through the draft. I mean, of course, they give Mike Mitchell that contract that nobody saw coming. You know, that was one of their bigger contracts they've given a free agent. That's shown a big investment in the position. You know, Shamarco Thomas, they traded up for him. They valued Shamarco. They valued the position highly enough that they wanted to make an aggressive move to get a safety. You go back to Troy. That was a first-round pick. You know, so if you look across the board, it's a team that does not invest highly in cornerbacks, but make some pretty big investments in safety. They know how critical that position is and how versatile and how, you know, run support, coverage, playmaking, tackling, everything you have to have in a safety. It's a lot more broad than what they're looking for in a corner. And so it requires some bigger investments. And of course, you have a pretty glaring hole at strong safety right now, and that's going to have to be addressed. And that's why I think it's at the top of my list and at the top of the team's list.
Do you think they add one during free agency? A name?
I know Eric Weddle, you're going to hear that name 100 million times before free agency even starts. I think they make some move. I don't know if it'll be Weddle. If that makes sense. I don't know how much I like it. I haven't really watched Weddle closely yet. I think they do add somebody. To what degree, I can't say.
I like Weddle as well, too, but then there's a whole over 30 thing working against him. He succumbed to a, you know, for being an Iron Man most of his career, you saw him starting to miss games now with groin. Now, Mike Mitchell missed some time, you know, didn't miss time, but a groin injury hampered him during the 2014 season. How much Weddle's value has dipped based on this past season, we'll see. Even so, you would think he's going to have some demand for his services during the offseason. If that demand, look, they're not going to pay him more than they're paying Mike Mitchell.
No.
Right, which is, you know, $5 million a season. Now, and don't get me wrong, I like Eric Weddle, but I like Eric Weddle for the right price and for the least amount of guaranteed money as possible. Mike Tomlin, I think it's evident that Mike Tomlin likes Eric Weddle. But then there, you go back to the history of this team and how they deal with defensive free agents outside of the organization. They normally like defensive free agents coming off of, like, their first contract if they haven't already played for the Steelers. So, I mean, while that does bear watching, Eric Weddle would certainly be a fit. I've never denied that as being a possibility. The thing is can you get him for $2 or $3 million a season with, you know, $2, $3 million, $4 million signing bonus? I think will be the big key with that.
Let's just take 5 minutes and do a quick exercise. Pull up the list of free agents at safety, because I just pulled up the list, and see if anyone else, because I know Weddle is going to be the guy that everyone talks about, but usually the guy that everybody talks about is not the guy that ends up falling through. Usually it's ends up being somebody else. And this safety, and of course a lot of guys are going to get re-signed, and that's kind of why I don't talk too much about, you know, free agents right now, because half of these guys are going to get re-upped by their current teams anyway. But there's some interesting names at safety, and I don't know if you have the list up right now. But, you know, Reggie Nelson is out there, who Steeler fans know very well. You know, Ben Roethlisberger knows very well. Nelson's picked him off more than anybody else in Ben's career. That could be a name. Mark Barron, who's kind of playing that hybrid role in St. Louis. You know, you worry about fit there, but that could be a possibility. Anyone else?
Barron has an option year, though, coming, right?
I'm just looking at a real kind of overview list. You probably know some of the particulars better.
They actually chose not to exercise the option on Mark Barron prior to the new league year. Okay. After the new league year started last year. So no option there. So he will indeed be an unrestricted free agent.
I'll give you one other quick name that I'm looking at the list here. And again, I don't know what the odds of him coming back, but David Bruton in Denver, who's been a really good special teamer, has played a lot for them, has played a lot of different roles, a lot of different hats. He's played, you know, of course, regular safety, come down the box and some sub-package football that they use. You know, Wade Phillips gets kind of creative with him. One of the top special teamers, kind of a hard-nosed physical player. That could be a guy that's not a Weddle type, but I could see, you know, coming in.
Yeah, and of all the names kind of being thrown out there right now, and look, Reggie Nelson's up there in age as well, too, mm-hmm. So he's kind of fighting the Eric Weddle thing. Eric Berry will be the top list.
Right.
He's not coming to Pittsburgh. You know, Walter Thurman, in my opinion, is just a guy. Trying to think who else here. Did you see much of Alan Ball with the Bears?
No, I don't know a ton about him.
You know, Lewis Delmas, Tayshawn Gibson. I'm kind of meh on Tayshawn Gibson. I don't know about you.
I like him, but he's not really that in the box kind of guy. He's more of your free safety center fielder, so I don't think I'd really call him a good fit. Unless, I mean, you could move Mitchell. I mean, you can do some different things, but I don't think it's a great fit.
Yeah, and then moving past there, I guess Tyvon Branch would be another name along the lines of maybe a Bruton.
You know, from what I saw, Kansas City uses him in a lot of different hats. Kansas City does a lot of different stuff with their guys, Hussein Abdullah and Branch. But I know Branch basically lost out on playing time to Steven Nelson this year, so I don't know how much that speaks well for Branch.
Yeah, and then when you get, I mean, we're on down the list from there, and no really names, you know, of the names that we just kind of went over. What do you think about Jaquan Jarrett with the Jets?
Yeah, that came up. Did the Steelers maybe have interest in him pre-draft out of Temple? I don't remember. That would make some sense. I see Hussein Abdullah, who I mentioned earlier, is a free agent as well. I'm a big fan of Abdullah. I love the versatility he brings. I think he's a good player. I don't know how much strong versus free that he is, so that's a possibility. So I think just the overall point we're just trying to make is, you know, as much as Weddle is going to dominate the airwaves, the odds of that, you know, aren't great. And there's a ton of other guys that are worth looking at that'll be cheaper, maybe a little bit younger, a little bit healthier. That can be just, you know, because that's the kind of the MO, and of course the moves the Steelers are going to make.
Yeah, and it's usually like we said, it's usually a guy coming off a first contract,
mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. And I try to do a quick search. I don't remember Jarrett being brought in for a pre-draft visit. Now they obviously could have met with him,
right.
You know, during a pro day, you know, several years ago or something like that. But you know, where would you rank Robert Golden in comparison to Jarrett and say? Who was the other one? I'm drawing a blank real quick. Mark Barron, you know, I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings about Mark Barron. But where would you rank Robert Golden, say, alongside Jarrett, Bruton, and Barron?
I would take him over Jarrett and Barron, just because Barron's role has almost become just a glorified linebacker. I don't know if he's really going to be viewed as a strong safety, you know, viable candidate. I think he's very comparable to David Bruton. I think that's a very apt comparison. So if Golden ends up walking, you could probably bring Bruton in and have almost the same guy.
So would you have Robert Golden at the top of those four players?
I mean, he's right.
Or who would you have ahead of Robert Golden of those names we discussed?
Of the four right there, or anybody out there? What's the?
Well, of any other free agents not named Eric Weddle, Eric Berry, or Reggie Nelson.
I'd have to probably sit down and think about it some more. Like I said, I have him above a couple of those guys. I think he's similar to Bruton. You know, I like Abdullah out of Kansas City. I don't know how much more I really would like him or not. I mean, again, I would like Robert Golden back, and I want to see him be able to compete for a strong safety spot. I just don't know if that's what the Steelers want, and if the Steelers don't want that, is Golden going to want to come back, or is he going to try to at least test free agency and see if he can get that opportunity somewhere else? That's my only concern with Robert Golden.
It's unfair to do this, but I'm going to do it to you anyway. Percent chance the Steelers add a safety during free agency?
I think it's high. I think it's, and again, I don't know what degree. I don't know if it's going to be a slam dunk starter. I don't know if it's going to be a guy that's going to compete. I don't know if it's going to be more of a depth piece. But I think, again, I think it's a position the Steelers, you know, Kevin Colbert really invests in and really values highly. And so I think that's going to be worth trying to plug that hole. So I think 75% they add a safety.
All right. What about a guy that comes in and starts, though?
Yeah, that just gets tougher on circumstance, partially. Is that going to be just an option? They might try for somebody, but the question is if they get it. I'll say maybe a 50% chance.
I'll go lower than that. But, I mean, look, I mean, we don't expect this team to make many, if any, free agents. What we would consider big name free agent signings.
No, but I know their MO is just re-signing their own guys in general. I think even it'll be even heightened more this year. But I think if there's one position that they end up trying to make a splash at, it is going to be going back to strong safety.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Most definitely. If there is a position they address with a bigger name during free agency, it would make sense to be. For it to be safety. Now let's kind of go step from that and transition into draft needs. And I mean, there if anybody's watched this team this year and understands, you know, the free agency situation, they should already kind of know the positions I outlined the offensive positions in a post-Friday morning on Steelers Depot. I don't think I'm going to get a lot of argument out of you as far as draft need goes. Quarterback, you will be absolutely, I wouldn't say shocked, but pretty surprised if they picked another quarterback in the draft, right?
I would be surprised, and I would be upset about that because I think you know my feelings on that. I actually just did the post today looking back at some of the post-third-round quarterbacks that the Steelers have drafted in the last, like, 40 years, and none of them have panned out. I think it's a waste of a pick if you take a quarterback after the fourth round.
And we agree, running back, fullback, wide receiver, we will probably be pretty shocked if they address that with a draft pick.
Yeah, me too. Though they're always good for, like, a receiver every year, so maybe they take a flyer in the seventh round, you know, something like that, because they just love restocking the shelf at wide receiver.
Yeah, they've got four. I mean, we know who four of the five are going to be next year. We'll have to see what happens with Darius Hayward-Bey. Eli Rogers is going to be a guy that will be writing about a lot about during the offseason, I'm sure. We don't know what he is or isn't, but he does have some punt return ability to him as well. We'll have to see. So of those three positions, fullback, wide receiver, and running back, you could probably see a late fifth, sixth, seventh rounder, right?
Yeah, and I'll I guess, quote unquote, call my shot now, and I say they do take a receiver fifth rounder later with one of those picks.
Wow, that's you're pointing to the fence.
Yeah,
there.
Real
bold. I'll call my shot and say they won't. Right. As we sit here in January.
When was the last time they did not take a receiver in a draft? Generally curious.
Oh, Lord.
What is the classic line? I'll talk while you look that up, or you talk
yeah.
while I look it up. I ask the question.
Well, look. I mean, you had Antonio Brown.
Yeah. Marte was the last 2 years.
Marcus
Wheaton in 13.
Sanders the same year as Antonio Brown.
I have it pulled up. Let's see, 2013 was Wheaton. What do we got? 2012 was Tony Clemens. If anyone remembers Tony Clemens, 2011 they did not. Though they didn't have as many draft picks to work with.
And then of course 2010 was
AB. 2009 was Mike Wallace. 2008 was the infamous Lima Swede. 2007 was Dallas Baker, who had a cup of coffee. 2006 was Santonio Holmes. 2005 was the immortal Fred Gibson. 2004 was they did
make it stop.
They did not take a receiver in 2004. So since 2004, only twice had they not ended up with a receiver in one of their draft classes.
And the thing is Marcus Wheaton, we expect him gone after the 2016 season, but you'll still have your core of AB, Martavis, and Sammy Coates from there. So I guess it wouldn't be overly shocking. I'll write you down as saying they will late, and I will go on record as saying I don't think they will. Tight end, though, we expect this team to somewhere, and it really is a somewhere in this draft. Could be as high as first round. I would think within the first five rounds, this team is drafting a tight end.
Yeah, the tight end position is so weird in Pittsburgh relative to the draft. I mean, everyone's, you know, most other teams are looking for a move away from the core of the formation, displace, you know, athletic. You know, everyone thinks about the Gronks or the Jimmy Grahams or whatever. The Steelers are just saying nope to that, and they just want blockers. They get their hands dirty. And those guys are getting tougher and tougher to find in college because of the spread offenses and the, you know, lack of the physicality that you get with that. So it'll be very interesting. It's hard to find a Steelers tight end in college football these days.
Yeah, and I know you are along a little bit further than I am in pre-draft evaluations and hitting the tape. Most of my bulk of my work has come kind of early on this week, and I'm, like I said, I'm way behind. But my initial view of the tight end draft class this year is it's not as good as it's been in recent years.
Yeah, a couple guys came back. The big one was O.J. Howard out of Alabama. A lot of people thought he would declare and be the top tight end, and he returned for his senior year. So that kind of took the class down a little bit.
And the Michigan tight end too.
Yeah, yeah. So a couple guys came back. You know, the Senior Bowl, which I know we're going to talk about a little bit. Some interesting guys. I've gone through some of them. Tyler Higbee is a guy I really wanted to see, but I think an injury knocked him out, so he's not going to participate. He's out of Western Kentucky. I was impressed with his tape. Another guy that I've watched casually is Bryce Williams out of East Carolina. You know, a bigger guy. But again, it's just so tough because the Steelers asked their tight ends to do more in the blocking game than probably any other team in the NFL. I mean, they're asking the block defensive ends in the run game and pass protection by themselves. I remember Jesse James, his first game up, he's blocking a defensive end by himself on third and long. I mean, that's just that's the way they do it. The standard doesn't change, and the assignments are very difficult. And it's tough to find those guys that can come in and produce like that.
But we expect them to draft one in the first five rounds and would not be shocked if one was 25th overall, would we?
No, yeah. I probably a good bet that they will take somebody within those first five rounds. I don't disagree with that.
Would you agree tackle is a moderate need?
Yeah, I think even maybe slightly more than moderate, though I don't want to get into semantics too much. But, I mean, assuming Beecham goes, you know, and Villanueva and Gilbert are your tackles, the depth is basically nothing. I mean, Chris Hubbard was functioning as your top backup tackle. I know they like Hubbard. I don't like him that much 2 years in a row. So I think you have to, you know, find maybe you get a free agent piece or a draft pick. But I think offensive tackle could be maybe your first offensive, you know, position taken in this draft. I don't know.
Guard, moderate to high need, probably all depending on what happens with Ramon Foster, right?
Yeah, I'm going to work under the assumption that Foster will be back, which obviously doesn't make it as much of a need. Pouncey comes back, you get Wallace kicked back, then kind of play. You know, we know he's a better center than guard, but we know he can play guard if you had to. And, of course, B.J. Finney, who we've talked about before, the team likes a lot. Maybe there's a little small need there, but I think they ignore guard.
If they do not re-sign Ramon Foster and they do not re-sign Kelvin Beecham, you could see this team spinning. You know how guards get shuffled down sometimes in that first round. Is there a possibility that you could see them take a guard 25th overall?
If they don't re-sign Foster or Beecham?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think you almost have to because I don't know who's going to play left guard. And I think that's another big incentive to keep Foster around because then you're going to force yourself to take a guard high or spend a lot in free agency and ignore other positions you know you kind of desperately need. So I think you have to re-sign Foster and so you don't have to worry about expending more energy on taking a guard and then you got a bunch of other holes to plug.
We both agree center is a low need.
Yeah. Assuming Pouncey's okay, and you know, not really sure what's going on with him.
Would you agree that if the Steelers were to draft three offensive positions in a draft, they would be tight end, tackle, guard?
I will say tight end, tackle, and wide receiver.
Okay, so you think they bypass guard all the way around?
Assuming Foster comes back, yeah, because, again, you'll have Wallace, you'll have Finney, they like Hubbard. I think that's good enough.
Defensive side of the football, as far as needs, we'll kind of fly through the primary ones. You have to have edge rusher up there, right?
Yeah, of course. As much as people hate to have to go back to that well, long-term pass rushers, it's just Dupree, so you're going to have to look dead.
And regardless of what happens to James Harrison, look, let's be honest, we don't know what Anthony Ciccolo is or isn't right now. I don't think you can write his name in pen on this 2016 roster right now.
No, you can't. But I think you and David Tara talked about it. If Harrison comes back, you know, those four outside linebackers there, I mean, it gets pretty crowded to invest highly in another one. So, like I said, I mean, I think it's almost a good thing for both sides if Harrison, you know, hangs him up and lets the Steelers draft another outside linebacker.
Safety, we spent a lot of time already talking about safety. Mm-hmm. We would both be surprised if this team if the team doesn't draft a safety in the first four rounds.
Yeah, I think that'll be one of your top priorities, so yeah, for sure.
And with the skill set more slanted to playing in the box.
Yeah, just assuming strong safety. They could go a couple different ways on it, but yeah, kind of a strong safety in the box guy.
Would it surprise you if this team drafted an inside linebacker?
Yes, probably. I mean, you have Timmons, you know, Shazier. I like Vince Williams a ton. I think Sean Spence walks. I think he's one of the few guys the Steelers let go. But you have Garvin. I just think with all the other needs, I don't really have a compelling reason to take an inside linebacker.
If Spence is re-signed, it would be for the minimum or pretty close to it. Vince Williams still under contract. Shazier, of course. I know people like to speculate that Timmons won't be there, but Timmons is going to be there in 2016. Cornerback. Everybody wants the Steelers to draft a cornerback in the first round. I don't see it happening. I think I'll be surprised if it happens in the first, I don't know, three rounds.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So I've been telling people for a while now, don't expect one to come high. They're getting Golson back. It's almost like a draft pick for him. Assuming they re-sign Gay, Blake, Cockrell, you can almost lock up Gay and Cockrell coming back right now, and I assume Blake's going to come back as well. With Grant you have, if they want to carry Cortez to camp, though, we don't really know what's going to go on with that. I just don't see they're going to – it's not like they value cornerback that highly, historically anyway. Yeah, Golson was such a shocker last year because they just don't take corners that high. I don't think they do it twice in a row.
They will draft one, though.
They probably – yeah, I think they will, but it won't be high, and it will anger many, many fans.
Twitter will be – well, at least that will take place after Antoine Blake signs a one-year deal for the veteran minimum.
That will break Twitter as well.
That will at least prepare them a little bit for what won't happen in the draft. Because, I think we both assume Gay will be back here. I don't see how he isn't. And like I've written and said several times, I expect Cortez to at least stick around through training camp to give him another shot there. Nose tackle, I think it all kind of depends. Look, I don't think they're going to spend a first or second round draft pick on a player that plays 33% of the snaps at best on defense. But if they are not able to re-sign Steve McClendon, and God hope they do, you could see a nose tackle at some point during this draft.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about what happens if McClendon doesn't get re-signed, because I don't know how you try to fix it appropriately. Let's just pretend that they do re-sign him. We don't have to have that conversation.
You would almost have to address it with a veteran in free agency.
Yeah, you try to take a nose tackle, it's a rookie, and you're having him in McCullers, it's just going to be an ugly situation.
Yeah, so I would, as we sit here right now guessing, I would guess that they don't draft they might draft a defensive tackle, but a college defensive tackle that's 6'5", 6'6", 300 290 to 310 pounds that they can move to a five tech. So that kind of brings us to the next step. I think whether or not they address the defensive end position, which I think is a good possibility, I don't think they're going to spend a top three pick on it. And let's not forget, even though LT Walton didn't play a lot during the season, they probably still have some hope for him. And then Keshad Lyons, they re-signed him to a futures deal as well, too, and they kept him around all season after claiming him off waivers. So if you assume that McClendon and McCullers are both back in 2016, you've already got four of a possible most six roster spots spoken for, right?
Right. But you got to add
defensive line.
Right. Yeah. You get with Hayward into it. But you got to. Well, I mean, I thought was it David Todd made the interesting point. I mean, is do you put McCullers in Penn? I don't know if I do coming into year three.
No, I don't. Yeah. You know my thoughts on him. He's only played. He played just over 100 snaps.
And not great snaps either.
No, they weren't. They weren't great snaps. So no, you cannot lock him up in Penn. But if you don't, you almost have to try to go out and find an upgrade over Cam Thomas, right?
Yeah.
In my opinion, do you really want a rookie to come in a fifth, sixth round, nose tackle backing up Steve McClendon?
No, I understand your point. I'm just playing a little devil's advocate.
Sure.
But yeah, I think defensive end position. You know my feelings on that. I mean, just Hayward and Tua, the snaps were the volume was just too much. They got to be some sort of rotation there. So they got to make some sort of move either in free agency or the draft at defensive end.
Do you think they draft one?
Defensive end? Yes, I do.
Okay, but you think it's after fourth round or fourth and on?
It's maybe it's hard to tell. It's so far out. You could probably see mid rounds. I guess I don't want to lock myself in too much. We got so much to talk about, so much farther to go that things can change. But yeah, it's mid round roughly defensive end.
All right, if you had to guess of three positions right now where the Steelers would go with the 25th overall pick, where would it be?
I feel like I'm at the eye doctor when you like, if you had to guess which one is clearer and they're both equally terrible, and you're just like, dude, I don't know.
Hey, all we can do is if and buts right now.
Andy and nuts, yeah. Strong safety, outside linebacker, and defensive end. I think it's pretty obvious. Like, I think corner's off the table.
I would have to agree with you, but I do think there's a possibility, and of course I had you name three. I don't think he can rule out tight end or an offensive line in there. So in total, you would agree that there's five possible positions.
Yeah, I think looking at the big picture, that sounds about right. Yeah, the five that we just talked about.
What's this thing called, a senior bowl?
Hopefully it's one that doesn't have a lot of snow, which should be nice. Yeah, we're, like I said, really excited to go flying out, hopefully, on Sunday. And the only issue with the snow is I have a layover in Charlotte, and Charlotte's getting the back end of that snowstorm, so that's really the only concern there. I was just trying to go through as many guys as we can. I'll be there at every practice. I think there's one in the morning, one in the afternoon. There's a media day. So on Tuesday nights, we'll get to really sit down and talk to some of these guys. A lot of great people going there, a lot of brilliant, you know, football minds that I can't wait to kind of learn from and get to build those relationships with. But basically what will happen for the Senior Bowl is we'll have a practice report probably at the end of every day. Our practices start, I think they're on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I believe, are the practices. I don't think there's one on Friday. So we'll have a practice report. It won't be exactly like training camp. I'm not going to do the play-by-play because I don't think it really has the value that it has for training camp. Whenever you have a bunch of guys that you know or you're going to see like you do in training camp, it'll probably be more of a winners and losers kind of thing for the North and the South. So we'll do that. I think, Dave, we might have planned a short podcast at each night like we did in training camp, just kind of going over, the highlights and the lowlights, and then hopefully a bunch of interviews. Again, that Tuesday media day will be an opportunity to sit down and talk to these guys. So that's what to expect. We'll have the practice reports, we'll have the podcast, and hopefully some interviews that we'll either transcribe or do some audio files or whatever I can manage to do. So I'm really looking forward to it.
All right, now from and folks, please understand, Alex is, you know, really just starting to scratch the surface on his pre-draft work when he gets back from Mobile's, when all of us will start trying to go through these prospects one by one and putting up our yearly kind of draft profiles. But from what you know right now, and this is putting you on a heck of a spot, so people, you know, don't kind of nail Alex to the wall here. Guys that kind of that will be at the Senior Bowl that you're excited to look at that kind of fit what we discussed as far as Steelers draft needs go.
For sure. I think we'll start at safety because that's, of course, we're talking about that as a big need. A couple guys. The one everyone's going to talk about is Jeremy Cash. Just like Eric Weddle, Cash is probably going to get linked to the Steelers a lot. He played in that very, you know, he's going to be, he played in that linebacker role in that 4-2-5. And basically anytime you do that, you're going to get compared to Buchanan in Arizona. But there's a bunch of other guys that do it too in the NFL. Mark Barron, who we talked about, Jerquiski Tartt in San Francisco, Hussein Abdullah, David Bruton, they've all done it. So he's kind of played that hybrid safety linebacker, mainly in the box kind of guy, but super physical, instinctive, closes really quickly. Just he plays like a linebacker. And so, you know, he's had a wrist injury that I think he had to have surgery on, but I guess he's going to be down there playing, so we'll see what that status is. Another guy I really like is Darian Thompson of Boise State, 19 career interceptions. All-time leader. They're actually surpassed Eric Weddle's total in Boise State history. He's a playmaker that's big, 6'2", 212 he's listed at, can fill the alley. He's kind of a really well-rounded guy, so I'm interested to see him. I like him a lot based on what I've seen. A couple of small school guys that I don't know much about, Miles Killebrew out of Southern Utah is a bigger guy. Some might project him the linebacker. He's weighed in at 230. Then DeAndre Houston Carson out of William & Mary, Tomlin's alma mater. Don't know much about those guys, but I'm excited to find out. Another name I'll give you, switching positions, is the edge guys. Noah Spence from Eastern Kentucky. He went to Ohio State, transferred. He's got a great first step, the ability to dip and win the edge. The counters, you know, I've gone back and forth. Am I seeing enough with him and his counters? You know, you'll kind of see sometimes the inside move, you know, after he sets up that speed rush, but I don't know if I see it enough. I want to see him be stronger at the point of attack against the run, but he's just an athletic guy who can drop. He's versatile. He's played left end. He's right end. He's stood up. He's dropped. He's played with his left hand down. He's played with his right hand down. So you see a lot of, you know, a lot of good traits there that you can try to mold with Noah Spence. So that's another guy that I'm looking at.
Let's see. What about offensive side of football?
I mean, the tight ends, like I said, I was hoping that Higbee from Western Kentucky could participate. He's not going to be able to go. There was some injury that I think he had in the bowl game or caused him to miss the bowl game. Bryce Williams, you know, a tight end at Eastern Carolina, 6'6", 258, that can move a little bit. There's an Iowa guy, Henry Krieger Coble. Who I don't think is a great athlete. I don't think he has top-end speed, but does a lot of stuff well underneath and as a blocker. I mean, he's an Iowa guy, so you kind of know that that's what you get from those guys. The offensive tackles, I'm still looking at. Jason Spriggs out of Indiana is going to be talked about a lot as a guy that has a good athleticism, great length, gets his arms extended in pass protection, you know, does a nice job shooting his hands. And trying to get a punch, but you know, technically still unsound in some areas, gets overextended too much in the run game and pass protection, will lunge, just has to get a better base and get his feet under him. But he's got good feet, he's a good athlete for his size, he's got a little bit of nasty to him, he's been a left tackle, he's got a lot of starting experience at Indiana, so that's one guy. A couple of receivers that I like. Leonte Carew from Rutgers, I really like this kid. He's shifty. He's a good route runner, an advanced route runner, uses head fakes to be able to create separation, has great hands, is a physical guy, he's going to get his nose dirty in the run game, you know, in terms of stock blocking or cracking safeties, productive at Rutgers, so I like him a lot. Let me think, one other name I'll give you, Carl Nassib. We'll switch over to the defensive side real quick. He's played the, you know, defensive tackle, defensive end. He's 6'7", 272, really athletic though, he's just kind of a raw guy, you know, but it has a great first step. Can dominate at times, but I want to see him be more consistent. He gets a little too overextended, you know, coming off the snap because he's trying to fire so hard off the snap. He can kind of, you know, get off balance and uncoordinated, but he's a guy that I think has a lot of tools to play in the NFL.
Any left guards that were, you know, able to run the power that can, that are good on their feet?
I've watched about, I think, 35 or 40 of the Senior Bowl guys, and I'm just trying to go through as many as I can and trying to hit as many as I can. But I'll give you two names. Joshua Garnett from Stanford. I mean, you think Stanford, you think power, you think nasty. That's really what he brings. He's got a wide base. He's just a strong dude that once he locks on, it's kind of over. And then Christian Westerman out of Arizona State is kind of cut from a similar mold. You know, a physical guy that gets good, you know, gets his arms extended, locks his arms out, plays with strong hands, you know, has a good anchor, doesn't let himself get walked back into the pocket. So both of those guys played left guard at Stanford, Arizona State. So those are two guards I'd be looking at.
We're going to be doing a lot of profiles on Stanford offensive linemen.
And it's going to be a good time. You watch that Stanford line get after it. I mean, there's no nastier five in college football than Stanford. I mean, they are just, you just watch them and they all just put guys on their butt.
Any chance whatsoever DeCastro pulls a Faneca and switches sides?
I guess it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he's at the point now where he's become so comfortable. I mean, you can make that transition and it would be seamless. But if you bring back Foster, you're not going to move Foster to right guard. I think you're
right. I'm saying if Foster isn't brought back, is that something you would consider?
I'm open to it. I guess if you have DeCastro, again, I'm looking at what helps Bill Nueva the most. And if putting DeCastro there, a guy he knows, you know, has been around, helps him, then sure. If not, then, you know, maybe it's a moot point. Foster could go. You never know what's going to happen, but I really believe Ramon Foster is going to be back, and I really think he should be back. So I don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about what the team should do if Foster's not going to come back.
Yeah, and I think we will know that prior to the draft,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure with him, I think with Gay, and I think with McClendon as well. I think this team, you know, needs to head into the draft, and Golden too, for that matter, you know, kind of the four key guys that we hit on at the top of the show, one would think. And look, they normally, they will do their best to get all those guys that we mentioned done probably the week before the start of free agency.
Right, yeah. I think Foster will get re-upped before the start. I think Gay will get re-upped. I think Blake gets re-upped. Golden, I could see testing. Foster's going to get re-upped. So I think some of your most important guys will be locked up before free agency even officially starts in early March.
Are you going to get your picture took with Mike Mayock?
I still remember training camp. I was sitting on the hill and I said, I forget what I even said, but I just said, nice job. I like the work you do, Mike. And he said, thank you. And it was the greatest moment of my life. And I'm just hoping I can recreate that dream.
Yeah, and Alex, once again, I'm excited for you because I know this will be really your first kind of trip on an airplane since you're like two or three.
Yeah.
You'll be away from mother's basement for a matter of a week. You actually have to do something that I don't like doing, and that's be around other human beings, which will be a challenge for you as well. But look, I think I speak for everybody that listens to this and reads the site that we look forward to the coverage from the Senior Bowl as well. And people, you know, just stay tuned to Alex's Twitter feed, my Twitter feed, the site, SteelersDepot.com. These podcasts, were like Alex said, we're going to try to nail probably one down every evening after he files his evening report, give you something to listen to during the off season. Just because the Steelers 2015 season has ended doesn't mean anything to us. In fact, we're probably going to have to start working harder than we did over the course of the last several weeks here. You should be used to the kind of coverage that you get from Steelers Depot during the off season as well, too. Alex, have a safe trip. Look forward to your work. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow Alex on Twitter at Alex_Kazora. You can follow my co-host David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Once again, thanks. An incredible amount of donations we have gotten, not only for Alex in the Senior Bowl trip, but for me and David in support of the podcast over the course of the last 8 weeks has been absolutely incredible as well, too. We thank you for that. You can do so by going to SteelersDepot.com and hitting the donate button in the top right corner of the navigation bar. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.